Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we are answering your questions. We're going to talk a little bit about, we talked about pitching yesterday. We're going to talk about some questions on the offensive side of the ball for the Dodgers. And we're going to answer an interesting question about opening day and maybe some changes Major League Baseball can make to that. That's what's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host next to me is Vince Samperio. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box of the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And we hope that you all had an outstanding Thanksgiving, assuming you celebrated that yesterday. Vince and I have not yet had an outstanding Thanksgiving because we're recording this the day before Thanksgiving. And we hope you guys don't mind us taking a little Thanksgiving break. We know that a lot of people think no point doing a podcast on Thanksgiving. But one thing I've learned is that a lot of people are often looking for things to do to get away from their family for a little while over Thanksgiving break. And so we hope that we are providing that respite for you here with Locked On Dodgers. And we are, just like yesterday, we're doing a mailbag episode. We have three really good questions from you listeners that we're going to answer today. So Vince, should we jump right in?
Let's get into it.
All right. Our first question comes from Tom at Galindo NT. I never know how to pronounce. Hey, Tom, let me know how to pronounce your Twitter handle. This isn't the first time we've read a question from Tom, and it's not the first time I've struggled on how to pronounce his Twitter handle. But anyway, he asks, what are your thoughts on Evan Longoria? Would it be crazy for the Dodgers to sign him if they don't re-sign Justin Turner? You want to jump on that one, Vince?
Yeah. My right away answer was no, thank you. But that was without actually looking and seeing how Evan Longoria has performed over the last couple of years. And after looking at that, it is intriguing. He hasn't played that much. He's played 81 and 89 games the last two seasons. He's been dealing with some injuries. But offensively, he's been pretty productive in the games that he has played. In 2021, he had an OPS plus of 124. In 2022, he had an OPS plus of 114. So above average both times. But, you know, when you put that together and you look at Justin Turner and Evan Longoria, I think at that point I'd still rather have Justin Turner when it comes down to it, and especially if they're in similar, you know, money ranges and everything else. But let's just say, you know, Justin Turner gets some offer from another team and ends up signing somewhere else, and the Dodgers, you know, were to look at Evan Longoria as somebody that could be, you know, the next person, it wouldn't be the worst thing. But at that point, I feel like unless you're hedging your bets with Miguel Vargas defensively, you don't know if he can handle third base on an everyday basis, then, you know, maybe you go after a guy like Longoria, who's maybe a 1 year stopgap type of guy. And you kind of let him know like, hey, you might start, you might not, you might get some at bats here and there. I'm sure he can slide over and play first base, even though they don't really need that because Freddie plays every day. So all that to say, it's more yes than I thought when I first read the question. But when it comes down to it, it would be a lot of factors to get to the point where I seriously consider Evan Longoria.
Yeah, the role I could see Longoria playing on the Dodgers doesn't seem like a role he'd be interested in playing. And so, because really, I see him, if they were to go after him, he would be that right-handed bat off the bench that they kind of thought Hanser Alberto was going to be this last year. Because Longoria still hits lefties really well, and he hits righties well enough that it wouldn't have to just be against lefties. But, you know, really he'd be a bench player, getting some spot starts occasionally, but he doesn't have the defensive flexibility that Alberto had. He hasn't played anywhere other than third base or DH since his rookie year. His entire career, he's just been a third baseman. And so he is going to be looking to be a third baseman. And the Dodgers, you know, I don't know what they're going to do at third base. They have Max Muncy there. I guess they could do some sort of, you know, make a platoon between him and Muncy where Muncy plays somewhere else when he's not playing third base. You know, have Muncy DH against lefties and Longoria play third against lefties and then Muncy play third against righties. But Muncy's going to play pretty much every day because when he's healthy, he hits lefties just as well as he hits righties. The only thing in favor is Longoria is a Southern California boy. He went to high school in Bellflower, went to college in Whittier and Long Beach. I don't know for sure that he grew up a Dodger fan, but seems likely, you know. And so, you know, maybe he would like to come to the Dodgers. You know, we didn't think the Dodgers would sign Albert Pujols. And the reason we didn't think so was because we didn't think Pujols would be interested in the role that the Dodgers were likely to have for him. Turns out he was interested in that. And so if Evan Longoria is interested in playing that kind of role where you're a bench guy, you get occasional starts, you know, but you're coming off the bench a lot. Yeah, I could see it happening. I have a hard time picturing that.
Yeah, especially, you know, I don't know if he is going to get in, start, offered any starting positions. He's still good enough when healthy to maybe warrant that, maybe on a not so great team or on a team that has already a strong enough lineup that he's not really, you know, considered to be like top five in that lineup. But like I said, when you mention it like that, if it came down to it, if that's the role that he was going to be, then you might as well just bring back Justin Turner. Now, obviously, it could come down to money, or like I said, if someone out of the blue comes and offers Turner more money or more years or for sure guaranteed starting role and he doesn't want to wait around for the Dodgers, then that's the case. But if, you know, Longoria is not coming in to be your everyday starter at third base, then, or if you don't believe in him in that way, then it makes more sense just to go back and get Justin Turner back, and they're going to play the same role and probably give you similar production. But at the very least, Justin Turner has a little bit more sentimental value, if that really matters to you. And they're pretty much, you know, I'd trust Justin Turner to hit more than Evan Longoria at this point.
Yeah. And that's really what it boils down to, is who do you think is going to hit better? And Longoria is a little bit younger, but not much, and doesn't have as much of a recent track record of being a good hitter. And, you know, I think a lot of people who are ready to be done with Justin Turner are really focusing on his struggles in the postseason. And I do think that we can learn more from the 3.5 months that he was one of the best hitters in baseball in 2022, more than the, you know, 1 week that he really, really struggled in that series against the Padres. All right, we're going to come back in just a minute, answer another question. This one about the Dodgers outfield. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Vince, we are back. We want to thank all of our listeners for making us your first listen every weekday morning. For your second listen today, when you're done with this, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. It is the day after Thanksgiving as you are listening to this, and that means that the United States is playing their second pool play match in the World Cup. If you are looking at Bet Online to do any soccer wagering, the U.S. is playing against England today, I believe. Right, Vince? So that should be a
yep.
That should be a fun match. And yeah, when does Mexico play again, Vince?
Saturday morning, Argentina. They need to pull the upset again, like Saudi Arabia did.
Yeah, Argentina is going to be fired up and hoping not to repeat that. Vince, who are you rooting more for, Mexico or the United States in this World Cup? Are you a Team Mexico guy all the way?
Yeah, I don't always root against USA, but I don't always root for them.
Okay. All right. Well, you and I could be rivals then. But, you know, we both look good in Dodger blue, as we mentioned the other day. So, all right. Our next question in our mailbag comes from Rich M. at The Straw 44. Probably a Daryl Strawberry fan, sounds like. And he asks, if the Dodgers don't end up signing Bellinger and don't get Aaron Judge, who is the next realistic star player option to go for? And he says, do they maybe try to sell the farm for Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah, it appears that the Shohei Ohtani dream is all but dead, at least for this season coming up. The Angels have been one of the more active teams so far in terms of trying to improve their team. They signed Tyler Anderson. They traded for Gio Urshela. They traded for Hunter Renfroe. Now, you know, you can quibble about how much they're actually making their team better with some of those deals. But the thing with the Angels last year didn't end up being the pitching so much, or, you know, at least not in the second half of the season. Their starting pitching and relief pitching actually did pretty well. It ended up being that they didn't have anyone else besides Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. And now that they're adding major league players, major league caliber players like Gio Urshela and Hunter Renfroe, they seem to be going for it. So I don't think Ohtani's on the table. You know, if Judge is out, it's one of those where, you know, you look to trades and there's not anyone really that stands out too much. You know, we talked about a bunch of outfielders the other day and it was, you know, nobody really needle moving, you would say. There was a couple guys that we talked about in terms of, you know, who was it that we talked? Cedric Mullins. We talked about, you know, Brian Reynolds from the Pirates. Those guys, Ian Happ, those guys are guys that you could, you know, fit into a role. They're not necessarily stars. I do think if, let's just say, they don't get Judge, they don't bring back Belly, I think they stay more put on the offensive side than we maybe think. And I think they go after a Verlander a little bit tougher, or they go after, you know, DeGrom potentially, Carlos Rodon potentially, or they try to, or they open up the trade book and they go after a guy like, you know, Pablo Lopez or someone that could be guy, Corbin Burns, you know, someone like that. I don't know if no Judge, no Belly. I don't know if there's another star on the offensive side that they go after that's not the shortstops. And from what we've seen or what we've heard, the Dodgers are in on the shortstops. They're probably waiting out the market to see, you know, if the market drops enough, or if there's a way to get some of these guys for those lower year, higher AAV type deals, then they might jump on it. But on the offensive side, I don't see any more star power coming in. I can see it more likely on the pitching side coming in.
Yeah, I think I mostly agree with that. I do think they're more likely to make a splash at shortstop than they are in the outfield, assuming Judge doesn't reconsider turning down their short-term high AAV offer. I could still see them getting one of the big name shortstops, but I could also see them going with a different option, whether it was, you know, trying to work a trade for Willy Adames. I have a hard time seeing them going fully internal, even though, like, I think they could. I think Gavin Lux could be a just fine shortstop, but I know there's probably people listening to this who are screaming at me right now. I don't think Gavin Lux's defense was as bad at second base as a lot of people think it was. And I think that maybe it's just because I did grow up watching Mariano Duncan, Jose Offerman, like guys making 40 something errors a year at shortstop. I don't think Gavin Lux would be anywhere near the worst defensive shortstop the Dodgers have had. And I think he's going to have better range than Corey Seager had. So even if his arm isn't quite the same, I think Gavin Lux could be at least as good defensively as Corey Seager was at shortstop, better than Hanley Ramirez was, you know, and I think that would be just fine if they think Michael Bush is ready to be the everyday second baseman. It's just hard for me to picture the Dodgers committing that heavily to a youth movement, going with Michael Busch at second and, you know, James Outman in center field, you know, or whatever. I really feel like they're going to do something at shortstop, and whether that's an Adames type player or a Trey Turner, Carlos Correa type player, I don't really know, but I still think it's more likely that they bring somebody in from the outside to play shortstop and trade either Lux or Busch, because there's not going to be room for both of them at second base. I think the Dodgers have given up on the Gavin Lux as an outfielder experiment. And you know, they could still revisit that, go hard on that. But I think that's more likely than them going after a big name outfielder, is for them to do something big ish at shortstop and then focus on the pitching market, I think.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, like I said, like when I mentioned, there's no real outfield star power out there. That's not somebody that would be inconceivable or not really on a trade market right now per se. And then at shortstop, you do have the big shortstops. You do have Willy Adames. You do have Tim Anderson as a name that's been thrown out there. He's a free agent after this year, after this coming season, I believe. I don't know what the White Sox, you know, thoughts or plans are. You know, realistically, their division's still kind of open, but the Guardians, young guys should only get better, and they might have more of a stranglehold on that division than previously thought. The other part, too, is we saw and we read about Willy Adames and the Brewers and saying that, you know, he's not going to be traded, blah, blah, blah. But then ever since then, all they've been doing is shedding payroll and, you know, not even like large amounts of payroll. The other day, they, you know, Brad Boxberger, I think, was due maybe $3-4 million. They didn't, you know, make that deal. They traded away Hunter Renfroe, who was due like $11 million. So it's not like they're cutting large amount, or at least not to Dodger fans, large amounts of salary. So, you know, maybe the Brewers are going to try another a quick rebuild type, trade guys at highest value, get stuff back, and then try to, you know, turn it into a quick little rebuild, maybe 1 or 2 years with some of those guys they come up. Because, you know, realistically, if they didn't do it the last couple years, realistically, they're not going to do it the next couple years. They don't, you know, unless they spend money or go after actual talent, which it doesn't seem like they're doing. So you don't want to get stuck in limbo. I think that the Brewers are smarter than that. And I think that's what might open up that trade again with Adames or, you know, Corbin Burns or both or whatever the case is.
Yeah, the Brewers are in the same division as the Reds, so they had kind of a front row seat to that disaster last year when the Reds ownership basically said, we don't care about you fans, and there's nothing you could do about it, so shove it. And I think the Brewers are going to be a little bit more diplomatic than that, but I think the end result is going to be, you know, not quite the same, because I think the Brewers are a better run organization than the Reds, and so they can still be more competitive than the Reds were, but you know, the mindset of we're never going to have a high payroll. I think that's basically a fact in Milwaukee. And so, yeah, of course, Willy Adames is available in a trade if somebody wants to get him. All right, we're going to come back in just a minute. We got one more question about opening day and some tweaks that Major League Baseball might want to make to that. So we want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please continue to keep it Locked On Dodgers. We are back for our last segment. Thank you again for making us your first listen. Hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you had a long holiday weekend and that you enjoyed it and continue to enjoy it. Our last segment of the week, we have one last question. This comes from Jared Telez at JaredTelez5. And he asks, what do you think about changing opening day? The average fan doesn't care as much about it. We should have the two World Series teams face off, then the division series loser against the division series loser, and the division series versus wild card. It would give a buzz to opening day. So, you know, basically trying to create postseason rematches in on opening day. I don't know, Vince, what do you think about this idea?
I might quibble with the average fan doesn't care as much about opening day. I think that's based on your team. Like Dodger fans do get more excited about opening day than maybe like a Reds fan would. Well, just going to base off this exact question, going World Series, you know, opponents, that doesn't necessarily drum up any excitement depending on the matchups. Like, next year, is anyone asking for Astros Phillies opening day? Not really. You know, last year, Braves Astros, is anyone clamoring for that matchup? Probably not really. 2020 Dodgers Rays, like, that's not getting me any more excited than anything else. There's not really, you know, you can manufacture better matchups without it making it the World Series opponents from the year before. The postseason, yeah, that can be, you know, different. Dodgers Padres opening day, yeah, probably gets people excited a little bit more. On the American League side, does Guardians Yankees get you excited? No, I'm not really blinking any extra for that. So I think there's ways to make opening day more exciting with matchups, but not have it tied to the postseason results the year before, because those aren't normally matchups that are hyped up. They're just hyped up in the moment because those are the only teams playing and it's for the playoffs or the World Series or whatever round you're in.
Yeah. And I could see them tweaking it to make sure that everybody plays their biggest rival on opening day, which even then you run into challenges because some teams don't have a rival, or, you know, in the case of the National League West, all four teams in the National League West would say the Dodgers are their biggest rival and the Dodgers can only play one team at a time. I think according to MLB, when they do their rivalry weekends, the Padres and Mariners are rivals. And so that would just kind of reinforce to those teams, oh, nobody cares about us. And I think the main reason, well, one of the main reasons, I agree with you, Vince, that postseason matchups generally aren't matchups we care about seeing again. We care about them in the moment because they're what's available and they're for high stakes, but we wouldn't necessarily be excited to see them again. The other reason to not do that is because just logistically, they put out the schedule well in advance. They put it out mid-season last year. We've known what the 2023 schedule will look like. And I think there's a lot of reasons they need to do that. The teams start planning for things well in advance. And it's not like you could just say, okay, well, we'll just plug in the opening weekend at the end. We can still release the rest of the schedule because, you know, whoever you play in that opening week, you can't play in a different series later in the year. And so, especially if it's a World Series matchup, that's, you know, a lot of times going to be their only matchup of the year. And it would be that opening weekend. So it changes the entire schedule. So logistically, it just doesn't make any sense. And kind of my overarching feeling about this is I think baseball fans love opening day because it's the start of baseball. And while I don't think baseball is ever going to get back to having the national appeal it used to have. And so, you know, I think trying to appeal to that, The reason to do an Astros Phillies matchup wouldn't be for Astros fans or Phillies fans. It would be for casual fans, say, ooh, a rematch of the World Series. I'm going to tune in. And even if that was going to work, which is questionable, I think baseball correctly is focused on local fans. And so I think most teams end up playing a division rival on opening weekend most of the time. I think the Giants actually open up in New York this week, this year or next year against the Yankees, which would be kind of fun if the Giants do end up signing Aaron Judge. His first game as a Giant would be at Yankee Stadium in a visiting uniform. But a lot of that's good excitement, and that's kind of manufactured. I doubt that MLB took into account the possibility of Aaron Judge signing with the Giants when they made that the opening day matchup. The Dodgers playing the Diamondbacks, who are in the same division, not one of the big rivals. The D-backs probably are expected to be a little bit better next year than they were in 2022. So there's some excitement there. But really, the excitement of opening day is baseball's back, and we're settling into the long season. And, you know, you see it when people talk about why is the NBA's offseason so much more exciting than the MLB's? Because the NBA, it's like, boom, free agency started, boom, everybody signed. And you have a couple days of just craziness. But then you also have months after that where it's still the offseason and nothing's happening. And there's definite pros and cons to both sides. Major League Baseball is a much slower burn offseason. But in general, I am skeptical of attempts to make baseball more like other sports. And I think trying to manufacture excitement for opening day more than what's already there because it's the start of baseball season is really more of an attempt to try to kind of grab that excitement that you get from other sports. And it's just my snooty opinion that, you know, baseball is pretty awesome as it is. I'm not opposed to change, but change just to make it like other sports, I am kind of opposed to.
I mean, and even then, like NFL, that first Thursday game of the season is usually a good matchup, but like the rest of the matchups are just based on scheduling and logistics and everything else. NBA does a better job of trying to do the matchups thing, but even then, I mean, there's times where they have these hyped up matchups that are, you know, the NBA's big thing is Christmas Day. And they've had times where those matchups don't end up working out because some teams end up being bad. You know, the Lakers are always going to play Christmas Day, but the Lakers aren't always good when it comes down and when it gets to Christmas Day and the Knicks and stuff like that. I do think for baseball, like opening day, and this might just be me, but I really feel like the games at Iowa have been like really fun, really dope, like the concept, everything else. I would say, regardless of matchup, I mean, even last year's matchup, the actual game didn't end up quite being as fun as the game the year before with Yankees and White Sox and Tim Anderson's walk-off and all that. But just the concept, you know, the corn stuff, it's fun. It's different. It's something that if that was like an opening day every year where the first game of the season was whatever two teams playing in Iowa, or, you know, if they go, I know the Mariners and whoever played in Japan a couple years ago, but and the Dodgers played in Australia, but those were so far ahead of the actual regular season, like a week or two, that it didn't feel quite the same. Where if it's in Iowa, you can do it literally one matchup is the day before everyone else starts, and that's your jewel event, that's your jewel opening day. Like, that's the thing. I think something like that would work better than, you know, trying to facilitate matchups that don't end up being too exciting at the end, anyways.
Yeah, you might need to choose something other than the Field of Dreams game, because Iowa in late March, I assume, is roughly 3.5 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, sure, yeah. That's true, but you figure it out.
Yeah, build a dome over that cornfield. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm open to ideas, but I've never, until we got this question, it's never crossed my mind that opening day needs more excitement, because for me, the excitement comes from it's opening day. Baseball's back. And for the first time in 5 or 6 months, we get to watch our favorite team play a game that matters. And personally, that's enough for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's individualized opening day is a big deal. And, you know, the overall, the casual fan or anything else, if that's not quite there, it's like you said before, baseball has a long way to go before the casual fan is back in its good graces. Because, I mean, just as someone who's worked a little bit in like baseball and digital media the last few years, it's not MLB is not only the problem. It's also a lot of the players aren't quite as open as they maybe should be. Or, people want all this stuff, but some of these players aren't really open to it or really want it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, so, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. You got anything else for this episode, Vince?
I got nothing else. We've made it through Thanksgiving now, and winter meetings are coming up. So hopefully that kicks off some actual happenings in free agency and trade season and everything else. It's been kind of a slow little nibbles here and there, but we're waiting for the big fish to start landing.
Yeah, John Morosi said he wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Judge signs with either the Yankees or Giants by the end of the winter meetings. So that's coming up. And you know what? Maybe the Dodgers sneak in there. Who knows? But whatever happens, we will be here to talk about it every weekday morning like we always are. We're about 30 minutes every weekday morning. If you are watching this on YouTube, we'd love to hear your thoughts in the YouTube comments below. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you on social media. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And now for your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a good one.